Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. And to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord, people of the Most High God, and welcome to Kingdom of God Ministries Internet Radio Program. We have a wonderful program for you tonight. The subject of the matter is going to be greater works. We're going to go into this immediately right now. Listen to the program.
My primary, but my day job, I'm a human resource recruiter. So if you know anything about works, that's what I do. I go around looking for people to come and do a particular job. I happen to work for Dell, so I look for IT technicians to come and do contract work for Dell. I went to the Greek, and I wanted to just kind of expound on the word works. And I went into the Greek, and in the Greek it means to. Now, first I want to give you the references for works. Okay, in the Greek, there is coming out the Strong's Concordance, number 2041, so you can reference it on your own time. But it occurs over 176 times in the Greek. This is how important work is, works. And I want to bring that out to you. Okay, when I looked up the word in the Greek, in the Strong's, it means business. Now, this particular works, I know there's numerous types of works in the Bible, but I'm referring to this particular work. It means business, employment, that which anyone is occupied, that which one undertakes to do, enterprise, undertaking, any product, whatever, anything accomplished by hand or industry or mind, an act, deed, thing done, an idea of working is emphasized into which is less than work. And what are you say, what am I going to talk about, Sister Montgomery? Well, I'm going to break down to you Jesus calling us to do a work. That's what he calls. He calls every one of us that goes, when we become saved, that's the first step, is getting salvation. Once you get saved, he calls us into the vineyard to work. That's what we're here to do. Okay? And then let's run on over here. And when I looked up the word work, it means there was some. Let's go to the word, and let me read that out of the Bible. They were standing around being idle. And they, Jesus came to them and he asked them, why aren't you working? And they say, nobody has hired us. Sound familiar? Okay, let's go over here. And I'm coming out of John. Okay? Okay, John. I want to make sure I got the right one. What I'll do is let Pastor Bobby find the scriptures, and what he can do, he can just reference me. But anyway, okay, first is John 9:4. This is what Jesus is saying. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Okay? Then we can reference John 9:3-5. You can read that whole chapter. Over in Matthew, turn to Matthew for me, hon. Matthew 21-16. And I'm going to read that, and I want you to just get a visualize. I like to do things to visualize so you can see what Jesus is talking about. Read that for me. Amen. So you see, Jesus, he's going around looking every day for someone that he can use for his purpose, for his kingdom work. It's not, like I said today, it's not about us. It's about God. It's about him getting out here, getting people free, set free, delivered, made whole. And when you go to the word idle, what it means is not being in a state of use, activity, or employment. Let's give a reference. The car was idle for 2 weeks while they went on vacation. Idle to operate without transmitting power. You got a lot of churches, they're idle. They big conglomerates. They teaching this mess, but they're idle. No power. Nothing. No one is getting set free. No one. Why am I talking like this? Because we get the call. We get the people calling us any time of night. I ask them, Sister Montgomery, what church you go to? Well, I go to such and such church. I say, don't he do deliverance? No, ma'am. Idle. Transmission, just sitting there, not going nowhere, just sit. God needs some of us to get up, step up. And a lot of times, Pastor Overton, he refers to the military. My son was in the military, and he told me how they was on 24-hour watch, watching, looking for the enemy. That's what we supposed to do. We on 24-hour watch. Our job don't stop because we might get a call. Somebody might be at the, we just had a young man right before Thanksgiving wanted to commit suicide. He said he went to an Episcopalian church, but no. See what I'm saying? The harvest is plentiful. The labors are few. He said, they said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, you will receive. Now, see, it goes back. When they were standing around, even though they came in at the last hour, they got the same pay as those who came in at the first hour. See, a lot of times the disciples, they don't lay the groundwork. They've done a lot of the hard work. We coming in at the last hour, this age right here. But we all working in the vineyard because our pay is going to be the same. We don't have no time for no big eyes and little U's. We're all the same in the kingdom of God. My main purpose, my main objective is to set the captives free. That's what I'm here to do. Okay? And then he go on to say, in Matthew, he then said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the labors are few. And I remember when we were just young kids coming into the ministry over 30-some years ago. And we was going to this particular church, and the Lord showed me in a vision, my husband and I, we was out in the fields working. And I looked around, and there was people standing outside the church with their arms folded. And I asked Jesus, I say, what is this? You know me, I got a mop. I say, Lord, what is going on? I say, we're out here working. They standing around. He said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the labors are few. Now, little did I know 30-some years later that we would be working in the deliverance ministry. You see how God do things? God will call you. He called you from your mother's womb to do what he called you to do. But will you stand up? Will you come forth? When you hear that call, are you going to go forth, or are you going to be like the, he said, was it Jeremiah? He said, Lord, you know, I'm just a lad. Lord, but God don't care about that. God want willing workers. God want people who is going to confront the enemy face to face. And you're not going to back down. I don't care what comes or go, you're not going to back down to the enemy. He said, he who sins is of the, this is 1 John 3:8. And this is, I'm just going and telling you about our, this is what Jesus came to do. 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is Jesus' primary objective. This is why he died. This is why he rose. This is why he came back, to destroy the works of the devil. And if you're in these dead churches and they're not manifesting the gifts of God, you need to leave. And I'm just saying it because I see it firsthand. And I say, Lord, there's an attack on the body of Christ. I see more demons oppressing these God's Christian people. What is going on? And he said, because Satan has increased his attack, because the church is sleeping. And when you're sleeping, that's when the enemy come in. We got to be on alert. We got to be geared up. We got to put on our whole armor of God, because we fighting a real war, saint. We can't play. We can't sleep, because he's roaming around like a lion, seeking whom he may desire. He say, and this is what he said. He said, manifest, to render apparent. You see what I'm saying? Up here, manifest, declare, manifest, to show forth, to destroy. That means to loosen, to break up, destroy, dissolve, loose, melt. This is what we're here to do to the devil. We're here to dissolve him, to destroy him. Yeah, I'm on the front line, and I don't take no for an answer. Yeah, he's going to come. Yeah, he sends attacks, but you don't bow down. When you're a soldier, you can't back down. I don't care what come or go. Yeah, we get attacked. Yeah, sometimes it's hard because you work by day and you work by night. See, I'm one of those Paul kind of folks. I have to go to work at 5 in the morning. I come home answering calls. But that's okay, because my greatest reward is seeing people set free from the kingdom of darkness. That's what I do. Amen? He said, and this is Mark 16, 17, 18. You heard it, but we're going to show you how to apply. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Believe. That's the key. I'm tired of people reading the Bible, but they don't apply the Bible. It's application. You got to apply it. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Jesus is promising. He left us this power. But to church, are they using their power? Before we can help somebody else, if you stand bound up and you're not getting set free, how will you ever rise up in the calling that God called you to do and come and help us? That's what we're saying. We need help. Okay, turn to Romans 8:34 through 39. I'm going to read that. But this is what it's all about, saints. This is why we labor intensely. It is an intense ministry, frontline ministry. Amen? But it's an exciting ministry because I see the power of God at work. I see how demons tremble at the word of God. I see how people, he has to humble his knee when you mention the voice of God. I see the authority in the name of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Who wouldn't serve a God like that? That even the very demons tremble at his name. Who wouldn't serve a God? Coming through, I mean, we grew up in the 70s when you had the great A.A. Allens, and this is what we did. We would go from, you know, God was just training us then in deliverance. And we would see the power of God, and we come in and we asking God to bring that kind of power back to the body of Christ, because we have so many people bound up. We need to let people know that there is a deliverer, there is a savior. He can set you free. No matter what your stance is, God can break the bondage. Could you read that for me? So you see, this is Paul, what he was saying. See, when you already make up in your heart and you receive God and you say, Lord, I'm going to be on the front line. I don't care what come or go. I don't care what attacks. Yeah, he'll try to attack you. But you got to make up a firm stance that nothing will separate me from the love of God. Like he said, in this ministry, a lot of times your own relatives are going to ostracize you. They're going to push you aside because they're going to think you're crazy. You see what I'm saying? They don't want to have nothing to do with you, but you got to say, I am persuaded, like Paul, nothing will separate me from the love of God. I'm going to stand my ground. Even though, like I told my kids, I said, coming up, I say, you know, I come up in 14 children. So I know how it is to go out and pick some weeds, poke salad. That's what my mom called it, because a lot of times we couldn't eat. But it sustained me. It kept me going. It made me strong. I know about my dad going out in the woods, hunting some squirrels or whatever he could to put on our table. But it sustained me. What am I saying, Sister Kathy? A lot of times I ain't going to have steak on my plate. But I'm going to stand because I know God is able. I know God will take me through. No matter what I'm going through, God has sustained me, and he has kept me. I remember coming up, we had an old pizza car. We would pile in. I get anointed talking about it. But we would pile in about 20 folks in an old raggedy car. And we would say, Lord, we're going to do your work. We may not have none. We had, what, $1 for gas. but we was going to do the work of the Lord. See, that's when you get a passion. You get a passion for God. And we would pile up the saints, and we would take them to the house of the Lord. Did it go unnoticed? No. I got 3 homes. I got a nice car. Nothing you do in the kingdom go unnoticed. God will supply your needs. God will take care of you. Be of good courage. Know that your battle is already won. No matter what you're going through, if it's sickness, he's already conquered it. If it's demon possession, oppression, he's already delivered you. Hold on to your deliverance. Speak your deliverance. Let the word of God wash you. Let the word of God cleanse you. He will take out everything that ain't like him. So if you need deliverance, and I should have put my disclaimer in here because sometimes I have a tendency to get a little loud. So if you have the faint of heart, this ain't for you. But I just go as the Lord tell me to go. But God has sustained me through all these years. And I'm standing here when you talk about the miracles and the work. I've seen the miracles and the work. I can't step down. I can't stop trusting God because I know what God has done for me. I remember when my child was sick. He was almost, he couldn't hear. But God unstopped the ears. And I can go way back and tell you about the power of God. I know I'm not just sitting here reading about it. I've lived it. I've experienced it. So I know what God can do. I know God can set you free. All you need to do is call unto him. Call out to God. He said, wherever you at, I'll meet you wherever you at. Call unto me. I will answer thee and show you great and mighty works. Amen? Amen. Jesus, glory.
Glory, 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 glory to God. Praise the Lord. I really don't need to say too much behind that. I mean, because she cooked the cake, iced it, sliced it, and gave us some more to eat. But yet and still, I want to add to that. Because what we're talking about is works. Now, when we talk about works, she already brought out the natural aspect of it, and she brought out some of the spiritual aspect of it. But I'm going to go into what Jesus was talking about in reference to Acts. Now, Acts and works. Now, when we think about works, many times we think religion. Yeah, we think religiously. We think about going to church. We go sit in the pew. We listen to the preacher preach, and sometimes we do a little bit of it. Okay, that's what we do. We form a religion, a religious act. We get up Sunday morning or whenever you want to go to church. If it's Tuesday night or Friday night, we get up, we get in our car, we start the car up, we drive to the church, we go in there, we sit down, we listen, we get out, and then we might tell somebody about Jesus, maybe. Maybe. We might whisper a little bit about Jesus on the job, maybe, and we consider that work. But that ain't what Jesus said. Let me read to you. John 14, and I'm gonna read a little bit. It says, John 14, this is what Jesus said. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. There are many lodgings in my Father's house, and if not, I would have told you, because I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I shall come again and bring you to join me, that where I am, you shall be also. And where I am going, you know, and you know the way. Thomas said to him, Our Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the living God, the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to my Father but by me alone. If you had known me, you also would have known my Father. And from this hour, you do know him, and you have seen him. Now listen. Philip said to him, Our Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, At this time, I am with you, and you have not known me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in my Father and my Father in me? The words which I am not speaking from myself, but my Father who dwells within me, he does these works. Believe that I am in my Father and my Father in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works. Timeless truth, I tell you, whoever believes in me, those works which I have done, he will also do. And he will do greater works than these because I am going to the presence of my Father. And anything that you will ask in my name, I shall do for you, that the Father may be glorified in his Son. And if you will ask me in my name, I shall do this. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I shall request from my Father, and he will give you another Redeemer of the accursed, that he will be with you for eternity. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it has neither seen him nor known him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he is in you. Now, Jesus told us, he gave us a promise. He told us the works that he did, say, you shall do also. And he said, greater works shall you do. Now, when you talk about greater works, people say, oh, no, you can't. You know, religion has really messed up a bunch of people. Theology has really messed up a bunch of people, because a lot of these people will tell you that you can't do what Jesus did. But Jesus said you're going to do what he did, and greater works will you do, because he's going back to the Father. And when he goes back to the Father, what he's going to do, he's going to send that Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, back to you to fill you, to enable you to be just like Jesus Christ. Okay, now what did Jesus Christ come to do? First of all, he came and obeyed his Father. Secondly, he came to destroy the works of the enemy, the works of the devil. What is the works of the devil? Sickness, disease, poverty, demon possession. Any negative thing you can think about is a work of the devil. Jesus came to destroy that. When he was on the earth, he was destroying everything that Satan was putting down. That's why he could heal the sick. That's why he could raise paralyzed. That's why he could raise the dead. That's why he can cause paralyzed and lame people to walk, because those things were works of the devil. And Jesus told us that we are to do the same thing and greater works. Okay, let me clarify some things. Now, we don't have to go out and walk on no water. People, you know, get the, we don't have to go out and holler at a storm on the sea. We don't have to do that. We don't have to transfigure and go up in heaven where everybody's looking. See, we don't have to do that. The reason that was done is so that everybody can see Jesus and recognize that Jesus was the Son of the living God and was the Messiah. We don't have to do that because we're not Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost is not going to lead us to do those things. Why? Because it's not needed. It's not needed. What is needed is that people be set free. That is our work. It's needed that people be saved. That is what's needed. What is needed is that we be set free in our soul and in our spirit. That we be clean down on the inside. That we have the right mind according to Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We cannot operate in our own mind. Our mind and the spirit don't jive. They can't. Because why? The carnal mind is an enemy to God. It can't be. Especially. Let me say it like this. Let me say it like this here. God gives us a carnal mind for one reason. And that's to work in the carnal world. That's all. That's all. That's all. But you can't use your carnal mind in the realm of the spirit, because you got a totally different kingdom. You got a totally different realm. It's just like oil and water. You can't mix oil and water. Now, you can pour it in there, and you can shake it up. And soon as you stop shaking, that oil gonna come back to the top. You can't mix it. So you can't mix the carnal and the spiritual. It don't work. It's gonna blow up in your face. That's what it's gonna do. Now, this is what Jesus said. Now I'm gonna read a little bit more in this in reference to what Jesus just said. Now, a lot of people seem to think, and it's true, some people seem to think that, well, that was Jesus. Now, he was the Son of God. He can do that. You know, he can do that because he's the Son of God. He was the Son of God, and he didn't have his father was God, and he didn't have no sin nature. And he was full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost just moved through him fully. That's Jesus. He can do that. Now, we got to get that out of mind. Jesus said just what he meant. And everything he said was what he meant. Jesus wasn't going around just saying stuff just to be saying it. He didn't do that. What he spoke was life. And when you receive that life, you receive the very life of God that would operate through you. Now, let's look at some stuff here. We're coming out of Acts 8, 5 through 8. Now, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now, if you want God to move, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to preach Jesus Christ. You can't preach what you think. You cannot preach theology. You cannot preach science. You cannot preach any of that stuff. That doesn't work in the kingdom of God. You have to preach Jesus Christ and the things that Jesus Christ did. You have to preach deliverance. You have to preach Jesus Christ. You have to preach salvation. You have to preach holiness. Else, nothing is going to happen. It's just like that idol. What were you talking about, the idol? The motor is running, but there's no transmission of power. That's idle. A lot of people sitting and going to church every day, preaching every day, and idle. There's no transmission of power of the Spirit moving in the body. You might as well cut your engine off. You ain't going nowhere. Might as well cut the engine off. Just burning up gas ain't going nowhere. Praise the Lord. And it says, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. Now, what was Philip speaking? He was speaking Jesus Christ. He was speaking the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearing and seeing the miracles. Ooh, Philip. That's not Jesus. This is Philip. Wait a minute. Let me say, make sure I read that. Yeah, Philip. That's what it said, Philip. Philip. The miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. That's what I want to bring out. When Jesus said that, it was for us. Now, the disciples and the apostles, after Jesus died, was resurrected, sitting on the right hand of the Father, he sent the Holy Ghost back down to them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Then they went out and did the works that Jesus Christ told them to do. And those works were these things right here. Now, somebody said, well, that was just for the disciples. You know how they keep coming up with that stuff. You know, they just keep coming up. If you don't want to believe, just get on out to church. You know, if you don't want to believe, just get on out to church. Go somewhere else. But he said, there was great joy in that city. Now, why was there great joy in the city? Because they saw and recognized the works of Jesus Christ through the apostles and through Philip. And the scriptures say that the works that he was doing, he wasn't going out, you know, selling beans or nothing like that. He was delivering people from the works of the devil. It says many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Now, one thing I'd like to say, it was totally different back then than it is now. We got all kind of medication. We can go to the doctor for just about anything. But back then, first century, they didn't have that. So if you was paralyzed, 9 times out of 10, you was going to die paralyzed. But here come a man, Philip, full of the Holy Ghost, one of Jesus Christ's apostles, was taught by Jesus Christ for a full 3 years. He came by, spoke, and the man paralyzed. He jumped up and was happy. Lame, he jumped up. He was happy. He was set free, delivered, doing the work of the master. It ain't just about reading the word. It's not just about praying. It's not just about going to church. It's about applying and letting the Holy Ghost work through you the way he wants to. And when he works through you, look, these things will happen. But you have to believe. And you have to first accept Jesus Christ and work those works. Jesus, now I ain't saying this. Jesus said you will do greater works. Why? Because he's going back to the Father. Now, when I'm talking about greater works, now, when Jesus said greater works, I already explained that, but you're supposed to do, we are supposed to be doing more and of a greater intensity than when Jesus walked the earth. Why? Because he was in one geographical area. That's what that means. But here we are all over the world, and everybody in here should be working those works. But I'm going to say, a lot of times, our mind and our soul is our worst enemy.
Yeah.
Because our mind will tell us stuff like, oh, I can't do that. he can do that, but I can't do that. I can't do that. And as long as you're telling yourself that, guess what? You won't do it. You won't do anything for the Lord in works, in power, in anointing, as long as you're telling yourself you don't have any power and you don't have any anointing. You won't do anything. The enemy has already gotten the victory over you because of your own mind telling you doubt, putting doubt all through your system. You got to get rid of the doubt. You got to get rid of the doubt. We operate in faith, not by sight. We cannot continue to look at our circumstances and base our whole life off of the circumstances that we're in. That's not faith. That is not faith. That is not the kind of work that Jesus saved us for. Okay, now let me... I'm feeling pretty good right now. Let me go right over here to Acts 9:32-42. What I'm trying to do really is establish that we can do the greater work. Jesus said we can do the greater work. He said we can do the greater work. Jesus said that. Now, if Jesus said that, and he was the Son of God, that means that we can do it. The greater works. Now, we've been seeing some works around here. Yeah, we've been seeing some works around here. But you know what? God will take you as far and as high as you will allow him to. If you got some kind of blockage, or you got some kind of state of mind where you say, I can go this far, well, that's where you'll go. That's where you'll go. But if you say, I want to surpass that, then God will take you further than that, because God is the one who wants you to do the great work, because when you do the great work, guess what happens? The world sees that. They see that. They see the great miracles that God is doing through you, and they're going to come to you. The reason a lot of these churches have to do all this stuff that they do with the bake sales, and they have some kind of plays, and they do this, and they go out there and they wash cars, and they do all this kind of stuff. They'll have some big star come to their church for this, that, or other thing, and they'll have this other thing going on. All this stuff that they're doing because the Spirit of God ain't moving. Because there's no power being manifest in the church, in that building. So they have to do all that stuff. But do you tell me that the Spirit of God is moving and God is working in that church, and people is being delivered and set free. You got folks coming in now walking crazy, and they rise up straight. They get the limbs straight. They get healed. They get set free. Demons cast out of them. People see that, they're going to come flying up in there. You have to say, wait a minute, slow down. Don't bust the door down. Don't bust the door down. Hold on, slow down. But that's not what's happening. And what, thank you, Holy Ghost, and what the Lord wants us to realize is that it's not by anything that you do in the flesh. It's by what you do in the spirit. It's what God does through you in the spirit. These great works come from the kingdom of God, down through Jesus Christ, down through that Holy Ghost. Huh? That's what's happening. We cannot do this on our own. We cannot do this. We can't heal nobody in the flesh. No demon will be cast out in your flesh. No paralyzed person will be whole in the flesh. No lame person will be whole in your flesh. Your flesh cannot do it. But when your body is saturated in Christ and in the Holy Ghost, you'll be surprised what you can do in Christ. I can do all things, what? Through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. Woo, let me read this. Now, this is Acts 9:32-34. I'm going to go right. Yeah. Acts 9:32-42. Now, it came to pass. Here's another one. As Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydia. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. This man laid in a bed for 8 years, paralyzed. Nobody could help him. Doctors probably come by, looked at him, you know, gave him some herbs and stuff, you know, rubbed his legs and stuff like that. You know, gave him this little stuff and that little stuff, but he still laid in that bed. He was still paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus, the Christ, heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. Now listen. So he said he rose immediately. Now this was from Peter. Now that wasn't Jesus. It was Peter that did this. Greater works shall you do. Peter did this. Not Jesus. Peter. Greater works shall you do. He said, so all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. When did they turn to the Lord? When they saw this paralyzed man who had been laid up in the bed for 8 years, Peter came up and talked to him and just told him that Jesus healed him. He jumps up, people saw that, and they come flying up in the church. They come flying up in the church. Look, if you want God to do something for you and fill your house and fill your church, then you're going to have to let God do something through you. If you don't let God do anything through you, then you're going to have a hard time filling up your church. Because people react to power.
Yeah.
They react to power.
Yeah.
They don't react to what you say. They don't react to what you can say whatever you want to say. You can preach until you fall out. You can. But if they don't see the evidence of the power of God moving in your life through what the Bible say in signs and wonders and in miracles and healings, nothing is going to happen. We got to do greater works. Jesus said, works the works of him that sent you while it is day. Day, while you got life. While you living, while the blood is running warm in your veins. That's what he means. You can't wait until you done closed your eyes for the last time. He said, well, Lord, can I do it now? No, you dead now. You can't do nothing. You had a chance to work the work that I told. And see, here's the thing about it. A lot of times Jesus tells us what he wants us to do. He tells us what he wants us to do. He puts that plan out of our work. He tells us. Now, when he tells us to work, then you say, no, I don't think I need it. You think he's going to tell you something else to do? He's not going to change his mind. He is not going to change his mind. Oh, glory. Now, it says here, now here's something else. Now, this man was only, he was paralyzed, bedridden for 8 years. Now, here's something else that happened. Now, so all who dwelt at Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple. Here's another disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. Tabitha died. When they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. And since Lydia was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him to not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out. That sounds familiar. Because Jesus, he had to put somebody out when he raised somebody from the dead. So Peter remembered that. So he put them out. He got them out of there. Doubters. Unbelievers. They looking at that dead body. Oh, she's dead. Oh, she's dead. Oh. Look at the good clothes she made. Oh, she was a good singer, but she dead. I can't get no more clothes. You know how we act. But it say, then it say, but Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. That's all he said. He said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. Ah, so it escalates. It can help. But you say, no, I can't raise nobody. But no, Jesus didn't say that. He said, greater works will you do. Now, God will bring you to that level if you let him. Because many times, the Holy Ghost works like this. A lot of times, the Holy Ghost will do something, and you won't even realize it. He's not going to tell you, well, I'm going to heal that person. Well, I'm going to raise that one from the dead. I'm going to cast the devil out of that one. The Holy Ghost might not tell you none of that until you get in the battle. And then when you get in the battle, the Holy Ghost will say, go lay hands on this brother. And you just obey the Lord. You go over there and lay hands on that brother. You don't know what's wrong with him. And next thing you know, he's jumping and shouting and spinning around and all this. But this fella could have been healed from lupus. He could have been healed from AIDS. He could have been had one leg shorter than the other. He could have had some back problems. He could have just barely got there, just crawled out of the bed to get there with a horrible sickness. You didn't know that, but the Holy Ghost did. The power of God did. And people see that brother jumping around and shouting, and they want to get some of that. They want to come up and get what that brother got because they see the power of God working in your life. And people will come. Say, greater works will you do. Greater works will you do. Now, I'm going to get ready and close this thing out. But what I want you to realize, is that when we're talking about works, we're talking about power. We're talking about anointing. We're talking about you being able to deliver someone and also able to deliver yourself. You know you can deliver yourself? Did you know that? Now, this anointing don't just work for somebody else. It works for you also. But if you have to believe it, do you know you can lay hands on yourself? Do you know you can believe for yourself? Do you know you can even cast demons out yourself if you believe it, if you work it, if you trust God and say, Lord, set me free. In the name of Jesus Christ, I don't want this anymore, and the Lord will take it. He will destroy it. He will bind it up and cast it out, but you got to believe it and work it. All right. Now I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to close it out. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Said, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his church, and was sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Now Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you are reading? Sometimes we need to get into the Word. We need to read every scripture that we can find on miracles, on healings, on deliverance. We need to get that in our spirit. We need to get that down in our mind. We need to get that in our soul, and we need to repeat it over and over and over again. Why? Because the enemy, he's going to attack you. And if you don't have anything down in your soul, you don't have the Word of God down in your heart, you could very well lose a battle. You might not lose the war, but you can lose a battle. Now, and he said, how can I unless someone guide me? And he said, Philip, come and sit with me. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before a shearer, he is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. But this is what I want to bring out right here. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, do y'all know what just happened? Jesus, the Lord, the Holy Ghost, translated Philip from one place to another. Philip didn't walk there. Philip didn't ride there. The Lord just took him there. Now, God did that. You say, well, what is that? Well, that was the works of God. Say, greater works shall you do. Now, the scripture said, I'm going to say this. The same way you believe for salvation, the same way you believe to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the same way you believe for the speaking in tongues is the same way you believe to do the greater works in the Lord. Faith is faith. To believe is to believe. Stop shutting off your mind to the great things of God. God has a greater work for every one of us. He said, greater works shall you do individually. For you and 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 me. So, at that, I'm going to close it out and turn it back over into the hands of Pastor Overton. But I want you all to know, it's time out for idleness. It's time out for playing around. It's time out for these old fake religious works. Look, we got to get to the real nitty-gritty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The enemy is not playing. The enemy is not playing. Look, if Pastor Overton, if he knows Taekwondo, Jiu-Jitsu, Judo, and some other martial art that I ain't never heard of, and I just know how to box, who you think gonna win? I might get a lucky punch in, but I'll probably wind up half dead. And so that's what's happening to us in the body of Christ. The devil is throwing everything at us with the budget and the kitchen sink, and we're throwing spoons at him. Spoons and forks and little cotton balls. That ain't gonna hurt the devil. We need to come at him with some serious ammunition. And this serious ammunition is the word of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, the anointing, the power that we can work the works of God that sent us, and he will equip us to win the battle. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, people of the Most High God. We just render to you the sermon of greater works that was brought out. If there is any people who desire to call in, you can call in at 323-375-0849. We have some time left. So if you want to call, 323-375-0849. If you desire prayer or you have something that you would like to say, you can call in at 323-375-0849. And while you're waiting, I'm going to play a little music for you, and we'll be waiting on your call.
Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 oh. Gotta die, gotta die. Can hear it.
So many times I felt like a failure. So many times I call on the Savior, who picked me up when my head is hanging low to the ground. When there's nobody else around. When I felt like giving up, you helped me put the weight down. On my shoulders, big boulders, they roll right off. On my knees, I seek the Father, help me bear my cross. To Calvary I walked, and now my flesh hit a cross. Now that I'm found, I can't never ever be lost. I serve the boss, Jesus Christ anointed, paid the cost. For my sin, who burdens got to leave. Keep my head above the sea, fighting till I finish my race. I got my crown in heaven, no devil can steal my place. My name can't be erased in this book of life. I die to live, to be united with Christ. Spirit over the flesh, it's a constant test. Daily being tempted, so I stay in my best. Spiritual, I mean the word like a box of cereal. The anointing make them demons get straight fearful. Upon me is great as Jesus who lives in me. I got the power of the Trinity, I'm walking in the victory. Power of the Trinity, I'm walking in the victory. Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 oh. Gotta die, gotta die.
Where the battle is in our minds, is it hard to find? In these end times, brothers is dying, doing senseless crimes, marching with death, blindly the blind. Got they taste of nine, in the street life is hell on earth. Look at the signs, forgot about Christ, now people crying. Living in the flesh, lovers of lust, who can you trust with your life? Don't live for Jesus, who you the Antichrist. It's spiritual, way more real and it's natural. You can't fake it, living this life, just like the Matrix. Is it breathtaking, spiritual? Whoa, am I from dope? I can't fake it, if you ready to ride, just let me know. I ain't playing no games, brother, Jesus, hold on my veins, where the pain serving you is a must. Ain't a shame, through with the game. Stop playing Kane. What did I gain? 380 to my brain. Made a brother want to change. Got a second chance. Chosen to my father's name. Preaching to the poor fans. Taking a lane. Gotta remain. Spread the word to all nations. Keeping my patience. Can't be deceived by Satan. No debating. Facing special situations. Straight contemplating. Gotta keep my head up. Cause it's all in the making. Feel your Holy Spirit touch. Never left alone. Deep in my bones. Fighting till we take us home. We ain't never alone. Never alone. Never alone. Never alone.
Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 oh.
Gotta die, gotta die.
So the people
preaching the truth. In the spirit to the flesh is dead. Destroying walls built from lies. Got people misled. They chasing money filled with greed. Serving the God of mammon. False doctrines being spread as they deliver the sermon. I see people with itchy ears. They enjoy the lies. And if it ain't about money, then it ain't about Christ. It's like rub God's belly. You get a surprise. Be careful of false prophets dressed in a pretty disguise. Friend lines in the pulpit unscheduled folk guys. But I'm doing a new thing. Are you ready to ride? Revival is breaking out. Flames of holy fire. Revival is breaking out. Flames of holy fire. Fire, fire, fire. Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Gotta die to the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it.
Gotta hear it.
Oh, oh, oh,
gotta hear the truth.
Oh, 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 gotta die, gotta die. So your people can hear it.
Praise the Lord, people of the Most High God. That was Die to the Flesh by Real. If there's anybody who desires to call in, 323-375-0849. We were talking about greater works, and, you know, when you're talking about greater works, we are still in the church age right now. We're still in the age of power. We're still in the age of miracles. And we can believe for those things. We can believe. We don't have to be bound, people of the Most High God. We don't have to be oppressed, depressed. We don't have to be continually attacked by the enemy with no relief. We can trust in God. We can call on Jesus Christ. And when we call on Jesus Christ, guess what? He answers us. When we accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we come into the kingdom of God, we become children of the Most High God, then we can ask God to do things for us. And when we ask Him to do things for us, He'll do it. Now, sometimes things are done according, well, all things are done according to His timetables. And many times things happen to us for our learning and for our strengthening. But God doesn't allow anything to come upon us to destroy us. God doesn't allow anything to come upon us to be of eternal hurt, eternal pain. God doesn't work like that. That's the work of the enemy. That's the reason why our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came, lived in the flesh. That's why He came and died and suffered on a cross or a tree. He would was buried, resurrected for our salvation. That's the reason He took the stripes on His back for our healing and for our deliverance. So we can truly call and have faith in Him. And we will see greater works. Yes, we will. We will see greater works when we put our trust in Him, we have faith in Him, and we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. God will do it. The lines are open, 323-375-0849. You know, brothers and sisters of the Most High God, when you think of the goodness of God, and all the great and wonderful things that He's done for you, it brings up a praise. It brings up worship. It increases your love for God. When you read through the Word of God and you read all the great and mighty and wonderful things that God has done for us and the things that He's done to us and the things that He's done through us, my Lord, there's not enough words. There's not enough words that you can describe or thank Him, because God is just that good. He is just that good. Call in number 323-375-0849. I want to play a little bit more for you here. And then after I play this, then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to close it out. I'm going to let you hear a little more. I'm going to let you hear repent a little bit here. Here we go.
My
Well, praise the Lord, people of the Most High God. We're getting ready to, we're going to close out the program. So I thank the Lord for all the listeners. I want to end with a prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I ask that you bless all the listeners. We bind up any type of depression or oppression. We come against the enemy, we bind them up, and we cast them out of their lives, right now by the blood in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that the word that they heard would sink into their body, soul, and spirit, and that they would benefit from that word, Lord, and they would realize that they do have greater work capacity in them through Jesus Christ. Father God, we ask that you bless them, keep them, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, until we meet again through the internet radio broadcast for the Kingdom of God Ministries. You all be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Amen and amen.